When someone mentions treasure, what do you think of? If you had a valuable item, a possession that meant everything to you, where would you keep it? You'd keep it somewhere safe, maybe even locked up. Matthew 6:19 through 21 says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart is also." Based off this passage, will we want to keep our treasure where moth and rust and thieves can take that treasure away? If our most valued possession is things of this world, that is where our heart is. We are told to set our minds on things that are above. How can we do that if we love the world more than we love God? What it means to love God is to keep his commandments. John 14:15 plainly states, "If you love me, keep my commandments." To love God is to love others. Matthew 22 is a portion of passage where Jesus is talking to a lawyer, and this lawyer asks him a question. He asks, "What is the greatest commandment of the law?" And Jesus answers him, saying, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Loving God means self-sacrifice. Matthew 16:24-25, Jesus says, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." We're familiar with the verse that says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." God loved us so much that not only did he send his Son, but he gave instructions and warnings about loving the world. The biggest warning that we find is the lust of the flesh. Galatians 5:16-26 explains all of these lusts that can become really troublesome should we choose to follow them. Loving the world is also very short-termed. 1 John 2:15-17 explains, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever." He also warns us to not cycle back to the old man. Colossians 3, if you'd like to turn there, 1-3 and 9-10. "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him." Let's look at a parable where we get to see what happens depending on where we put our faith and efforts in. If you'd like to, you can turn to Matthew 7:24-27. I'll give some background as you guys are turning there. This is towards the end of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. He has just explained all of these common laws and then redefined them, giving his authority to those who are listening. He's changed common things like how we should direct our anger. And he closes off with this parable of the house on the rock. He explains about the wise man. Starting in verse 24, it says, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. And it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock." Because this house was founded on the rock, it was safe during trials. And it stayed still. It stayed firm. Jesus is that firm foundation. He is the rock. If we continue in Matthew 26-27, you're explained about the foolish man, the exact opposite. "But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew, and it fell. And great was its fall." If we are founded on the sand, we are unsafe, unstable, and we will fall. Anything that is not Christ is sand. And that includes the world. Now, we are given a reward for choosing God. There's many rewards, and if I were to list all of them, we'd be here for hours, so I'll only mention a few. We're given the ability to pray. James 5:13 plainly states, "If there's anyone among you suffering, let him pray." We're given forgiveness. God will run to us to forgive. We learned that recently. 1 John 1:9, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." And we see the church family. In Galatians 3:26-27, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you are baptized into Christ, have put on Christ." And we are given a heavenly home. Turn to 2 Corinthians 5:1. 2 Corinthians 5:1. This passage is going to mention a tent. Have you ever been camping in an old rinky-dinky tent that you pulled off the side of the road? Have you ever been in that tent when it rained? You might have found that when you woke up the next morning, all your things were wet, you were soaked, and you were straight up not having a good time at all. 2 Corinthians 5:1 says, "For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." The house we have with God is not some old tent that gets a whole bunch of leaks in it during the night. It's never going to fade away. It's not made with hands. You didn't build this tent or this house like a tent with all these rods and this fabric and just called it a home. It's an everlasting home, a mansion, a home prepared where we will go should we choose him. And on the other side, there is a reward for choosing the world. And ultimately, that's separation from God. 1 John 2:15, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." If we are not in Christ, if the love of the Father is not in us, we cannot get to heaven. We cannot love both God and the world. By loving the world, we choose worldly treasures over God, which will prevent us from entering heaven. Joshua 24:15 reads, "And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Who will you serve? The world in whose land you dwell, or God?